And welcome back to the draft day special of the Undefeated. I'm Will here with Anthony and George. Once again, George is with us from his home because he's not allowed in the studio, which is really unfortunate. How's it going today? Yeah,
very unfortunate. I'm doing all right. I'm ready for draft day. This is one of the best times of the year.
I 100% agree. Anthony, how are you doing today?
Doing fine. I'm anxious to see what goes on tonight.
I think everybody is anxious, or anyone that knows anything about football.
What is Cincinnati going to do? Are they going to take Sewell or are they going to take Chase?
They're going to take Chase.
Should go Sewell.
I think it could still go 50-50. And either way, it's a good pick because either way, you're getting the best receiver in the draft or the best tackle in the draft. Yeah. And you can pick either one of those positions at the top of round two. So it's really a coin flip.
It's a win-win for Cincinnati regardless.
Correct.
But a problem we ran into last episode of our mock draft was that we hadn't incorporated the Orlando Brown trade. So before we get into any draft day news or anything, any teams that are thinking about trading up or any prospects that are going up boards on draft day, we're going to go through how the Orlando Brown trade affected our mock drafts. And we're going to start out with, what do they do at 31? And George, what do you think they do at 31? Actually, we're going to do the same thing we did before, where Anthony and I have what we think they're going to do, and you're just going to give us your thoughts on it. Is that going to be okay?
Cool. Works for me.
Anthony, where do you have the Ravens going with their newly acquired 31st overall pick?
I think they have to. I think they don't have to, but I think they go offensive tackle. I think after the Brown trade kind of solidifies that they need a new tackle. Like, I guess they signed Villanueva to play there, but he's old and aging, and they need another offensive tackle outside of that.
I disagree with you. I think Villanueva is a very good tackle, and they still have Ronnie Stanley. The only reason that Orlando Brown got traded in the first place is because they said that that Ronnie Stanley is the guy they're going to run with instead of Orlando Brown. So I have him going with Azeez Ojulari here. I think that pass rush is a really big need for that defense that has a really talented linebacking core and a really talented secondary. And I think that they going with Ojulari here fills their biggest position of need on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I have to agree with Will here. I think that edge rusher is definitely more of a need than tackle is. I think Villanueva is fine watching him all these years in Pittsburgh. He's an average to above average tackle, and I think switching to right tackle will actually do him a lot better. I think this is a perfect time to take your edge rusher if they don't end up using those two first-round picks to trade up, or they always love to trade down, and they could trade down to the second round. No, I think they should go receiver with their first pick, and then I think edge rusher with their second pick, and they've solidified their two biggest sources of need. And if they want to go offensive line in the third rounds or whatever, there's enough offensive linemen there where that can be made do. But I really think that those are probably their two biggest positions of need, and that's probably where they'll go tonight.
Yeah, I agree with George here. And then the next pick that I have affected by this trade is the Buccaneers, because I had them originally going with Ojulari here, and now I have them going with Asante Samuel Jr., the corner out of Florida State. I think that, as George said last episode, they need every pick we have that the Bucs have is a luxury pick, so I think that they should just go with a rotational secondary guy just to get him experience, and he'd be a perfect guy if someone has to go down with an injury or if they just need a guy to go in for a couple of plays. Asante Samuel Jr. would be the perfect fit here. Anthony, do you have this trade? I mean, this pick affected by the trade?
Not really. I mean, in mine, I don't have them changing, so I still have the Bucs getting Christian Barmore, the defense tackle of Alabama. I get that defensive tackle isn't their biggest need, but it was really a toss-up of what they're going to do, and I thought he was best player available at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barmore's still there at 32. I actually really like that pick, especially as Sue gets older and whatever. I think the Buccaneers at 32 need to either go rotational pass rusher or rotational secondary. And if Asante Samuel's there, that's probably also best player available. So, I mean, just basically I think they're picking whatever the best player is on their boards, and they're going to stick with it. They brought back all 22 starters. I think they're going to be okay. They have everything they need to make another Super Bowl run. So, yeah, I think best player available, and that's what they go with. And it was Azeez Ojulari when the Chiefs had this pick, but it's not anymore. So go with the next best guy. And if Asante Samuel's not off the board, you take him. I don't think he lasts in the second round.
Yeah, I think the farthest that he'll fall is to the farthest he falls. Like, the absolute bottom is I don't think he makes it past the Eagles in the second round. And Anthony stayed with Cosme, so he really doesn't have anything affected. as far as the picks go. But the next pick that I have affected by the trade is now that I originally had the Eagles taking Asante Samuel Jr. and now I have him picking Richie Grant, the safety out of UCF. You lose Jalen Mills and you don't really have that many safeties, and Richie Grant can go in there and be a day one starter for a team that really needs some defensive secondary help.
Yeah, Richie Grant is an extremely explosive defender. Makes a lot of plays at the line. He is more of a box safety, so I'm not exactly sure that's perfect fit for the Eagles, but I really like Richie Grant. A really explosive, a fantastic athlete. The guy I would maybe a little bit more consider if the Eagles are going to go secondary, or somebody that's gonna play that safety role for them. I think Javon Holland out of Oregon would be a perfect fit there for the Eagles. If he could end up really going in the first round, I really like Javon Holland. He can play really anywhere in the secondary. He's played free safety and slot corner at Oregon, and then he also has the size, the length, and the speed to play the outside corner. So I really think Javon Holland could be a perfect fit for the Eagles defense and really fit anywhere that they really need help. So but if he's not there, Richie Grant is not a bad pick for them.
Yeah, I think that Richie Grant can go in there and, as you said, be kind of a box safety. And I think that putting him next to Anthony Harris or Rodney McLeod, whoever they decide to do that, I think that that'd be a great fit. And then you can move McLeod or Harris to play corner role, or put Grant at like a sub linebacker type of role. So I think that he's a very versatile player that the Eagles can use.
Yeah, and that's what they need right now is talent.
Precisely. The next pick that was affected was the Panthers. I originally had them going with Dylan Raidens here because Sam Cosmi was off the board. And now I had the Panthers going with Cosmi. I think that you trade for Darnold, he's going to be your guy. You trade away Bridgewater, you need an offensive tackle. You have your weapons there. You have DJ Moore. You have Robbie Anderson. And I think that just getting protection for Sam Darnold is what you need to do here. And Cosmi's by far the best offensive lineman still available.
Yeah, Cosmi's great. I think that, they're going to take best tackle on the board if they don't take one in the first round, and this is a great fit for them.
Next pick that's affected here is I originally had the Lions going with Richie Grant, but now they're forced to go with Eric Stokes, the corner out of Georgia. I think that after Okuda didn't play exceptionally well his rookie year, that he's a great fit so that him and Okuda can develop together on that defense and become potentially a lethal secondary.
Look, Lions just need to take best player available. I don't care what position it is, as long as it's not punter or something, or like running back. I think they really have holes everywhere. It's not going to matter where they take it. It's just going to matter that they take someone good and they have talent on the roster, because they have almost zero talent on the roster.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one. And the final pick that I have affected by this trade is the Jaguars. I originally had taken Eric Stokes, but now Stokes isn't there. I think that they're going to go with Dylan Raidens, who's fallen perfectly right into their lap. You got Trevor Lawrence at pick one. You got Christian Barrymore. You got Kadarius Toney. And now you just need a lineman. And then you have filled a bunch of the holes that you need to fill. And I think that all of those guys are going to start on that team.
Yeah, I like Raidens. I think, if he falls this far, Raidens is perfect to slot in there at tackle and protect Lawrence. And I think this would be a really good draft for the Jaguars. They have to change their culture, and they have to change the amount of talent they have on the team in this draft. They have a whole bunch of picks in the top 100, and they really can't screw it up here. They just need to not take a running back and, not go overboard on, a bunch of the same position. But other than that, I really think that they can change their entire defense in this one draft. Change their entire defense, change their offense, change everything, change the amount of talent they just have on that roster, and be a good team next year.
I 100% agree. I think that this draft is very crucial to the success that or not success that Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence are going to have in the NFL. And that's how our mock drafts are affected. But it is draft day, so. And yesterday, the Broncos did trade up to the trade for quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. They exchanged a sixth-round pick with the Panthers. And does this affect what the Broncos are going to do here at pick? I still have them trading up for Fields, but does this affect, in y'all's opinions, what the Broncos are going to do?
I don't think so. I think the Broncos still just stay at 9 and take a quarterback. I don't know if they trade up anymore. because they're not super pressed to. But, you know, I think if any of the five quarterbacks land at nine, I think they're going to snatch him up. There's no reason not to. You traded – it's not like you traded big capital for Teddy Bridgewater. You traded a six-round pick, and you're only paying him $3 million. Drew Lock is still on a rookie contract. So I really don't see why you wouldn't take a quarterback here if one's available. That's obviously the most important position on the field, and you have to have a good one to be successful in this league. And that's what the Denver Broncos have realized, because they have a decent roster, but they just don't have a quarterback, and they haven't been able to be successful because they don't have a quarterback.
Anthony, you're the Broncos fan. Do you think the Broncos are going to – this changes what they're going to do?
I think it affects them. I think the only quarterback that they really want is Justin Fields. Do I think he falls to nine? No. So I think what they should do is go Micah Parsons, kind of solidify that linebacker role, and have Bridgewater and Locke kind of, you know, work out with themselves this offseason.
I really could see the quarterback duel. I think that just getting a guy like Bridgewater is – I don't understand the move. I still think that they should trade up for Fields. And the only thing that I could see holding them back is that Bridgewater is a decent-sized cap hit. I mean, he did sign a three-year deal last offseason. And I think that
they're only paying him $3 million. The Panthers took most of his contract. They're seriously only paying him $3 million this season and next season. So it's really not that big of a deal. And I you know, Fields could still be there at seven, and they could trade up, you know, if the Patriots, you know, because I really think the only competition they have to get Fields is the Patriots coming up to six, seven, eight, something like that. So, and you know, they're at nine, so they don't have to trade up that far. I think Micah Parsons would be a mistake. You know, he's extremely athletic, but he's not super talented on the actual football field. He can't play zone coverage. He has to be in a man situation all the time. And he's got serious off-the-field concerns. I think that the Broncos could go so many different places. I think an offensive tackle would be would be better for them. I think there could be a lot of things improved with that roster, and I don't think going linebacker would be their best move. I still think that they need a quarterback to be successful, and if they don't take a quarterback, it's a serious mistake.
Yeah, I agree with George here, just because I think that they have the talent on the offensive side of the ball to be a top seven offense in the NFL. They have two really good receivers in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, a really good tight end in Noah Fant, and the only thing holding them back is a quarterback. So I think if you go and get a guy like Fields, you'll go in there, he'll likely win the starting job, and I think he'll be able to translate over to the NFL, especially with the way that the modern NFL is evolving.
I would tend to agree. If they don't take a quarterback, I think they have to go tackle or edge rusher. And there's not really an edge rusher worth taking at nine. I think you might have to trade back a little bit and see if you can trade back a little bit for, you know, see if somebody wants to trade up in front of Dallas to take Sertan or anything like that. I don't know. I think if Denver doesn't take a quarterback tonight, it's a serious mistake, and it's another mistake made by their front office.
Want Mac Jones?
I don't think anybody wants Mac Jones, and that's not named Kyle Shanahan.
If they take Mac Jones at three, that would be such a serious mistake. A guy they could have had at six, a guy they might have been able to have at 12, and you're trading two first-round picks to get the guy you could have all along. I mean, this is not the movie Draft Day. They're not getting their picks back or anything like that. It would be a serious mistake to take Mac Jones, who's the least talented out of the top five quarterbacks, maybe even the least talented out of the top six. Yeah, he's got great processing, but I don't think, you know, he doesn't have the arm. He can't move out of the, you know, he's not great out of the pocket. He's not great out of structure. I think that Fields, who is more accurate, has a running game, better out of structure, is a better prospect. And I think Lance, who maybe has the highest ceiling in this, probably actually has the highest ceiling of any quarterback in this class, with the fantastic arm, with the absolute great running game. I really have a comp like Cam Newton. I really think that, you know, he could be close to what Cam Newton was. I don't really see Mac Jones getting anywhere above, you know, a Kirk Cousins, a Matt Ryan is maybe his ceiling, and I really don't see what all the hype is about Mac Jones, because he just doesn't have the physical tools that the other two have.
Yeah, I think what Kyle Shanahan wants is why Kyle Shanahan wants Mac Jones is his brain. For all reports are saying that Mac Jones has one of the highest football IQs that they've ever seen. And I think that that's what Shanahan wants. I think that Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan's brains together could be really good, but I just don't think that Mac Jones's talent is there. I think that a comparison to make to him is he's kind of like Josh Dobbs in the fact that they both have amazing football minds, but their physical abilities aren't exactly there.
Well, the other thing is that Trey Lance has said that he's fantastic on the whiteboard. His football IQ is also super high. So I would rather even if you don't love Fields' on field mind, then you go with Lance. I mean, who's still got a super high football IQ and the physical tools to be able to play that position and be successful. And I think that him adding a running game out of the quarterback position for Kyle Shanahan's offense would be lethal and deadly. And I don't know if Mac Jones will be able to do anything better than Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what I mean? So I don't understand that, if they stayed at 12 and they took Mac Jones, I can understand it. Like, that's a quarterback, that they thought could process through, and he's not going to get injured as much as Jimmy Garoppolo. So I could get it. I don't understand trading two first round picks and a third round pick to get up to three to take the guy you could have had at
12. I think they should take Trey Lance.
I agree with that. They should take Trey Lance here. From all reports are saying that they've narrowed it down to Mac Jones or Trey Lance, and I think that they should go Trey Lance out of those two. Overall, I think they should go Fields, but
I've been saying that. I don't think months that they're going to take me. So I really think that that could be that is what's going to happen.
Yeah. And we've talked about the Broncos trade. We're going to talk about some late round gems that we think are going to be really nice in the late day two, good day three guys. And I think that a guy I want to start out with is Chuba Hubbard, the running back out of Oklahoma State. I think that he has a really high upside here. I think that he's going to fall to a later round just because he doesn't have that top end speed. But I think he's going to be a very good, important role player to whatever team gets him.
Yeah, he's got amazing potential. I could easily see him being a late third round pick.
What are your thoughts on Chuba Hubbard, George?
I don't know. I don't. Chuba Hubbard, he's decent. I think he's like the seventh running back on my board. I don't know. He's probably going to be a day three pick easily, a fifth rounder maybe. Because, there's a lot of decent running backs in this class that are better than Chuba Hubbard. And he's been sliding down draft boards for a while now. A guy I really like is Jalen Darden out of UNT. This guy, for only being 5'9", has every other tool you can want. He's got strong hands. He's got a super great speed. He's a absolute weapon and menace from anywhere you can put him on the field. He's a super weapon, or he was for the Mean Green. And I really think that he could be a late day two, early day three pick. And I think he's a really good receiver for anyone who takes.
I haven't done much looking into him, but I trust your knowledge. And do you have any, Anthony, do you have any guys that you think are going to be late round gems?
Yeah, I think Ardarius Washington, the safety at TCU, he worked with Trayvon Merrigan. We know he's the best in the class, and working alongside him for 4 years really helps him. And I think whatever team is kind of safety needy, safety hungry, could look past those first three, Merrigan, Holland, and Grant, and you see Ardarius Washington still sitting there. You think he'd go in and help that a secondary with that?
Isn't he like 5'9", though?
Yeah, he's extremely small, and he also extremely benefited from sitting next to Trayvon Merrigan. That may actually drop him some draft stock just because he was playing next to the best safety in this class, and he might not have that in the NFL. He will have to be number one. Plus, he's extremely small. So, I like Ardarius Washington. I think he could go second round, he's probably going to be day two, but, there are some serious questions about how he's going to be able to play in the next level.
Yeah, I agree. Size is very important, especially at a position like on receiver. It matters. Running back is where
running back doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, running back doesn't matter.
Car wise, but it matters, you know, stature wise. I think tackles, it can matter, especially, you know, you're talking arm stuff. Outside corner, it could matter.
You have to tackle the other players. And I think that when you're 5'9 going up against the guy that's like 6'4, 6'5.
Darius Washington 5'9", and our, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is running across, or his poster out across the middle. You know,
Yeah, he's getting destroyed. Another guy that I think could be a late round gem, assuming that they use him right, is Sean Wade. I think that if you draft him and you don't have him play corner, I think he'd be a way better safety than a corner, just because he doesn't have that speed and he's not the best in single coverage.
I don't know. I still don't love Sean Wade. I think he could be a fine safety at the next level. I don't know. He made a lot of mistakes at Ohio State, and I'm not sure if he's going to be able to correct those at the next level. Another guy I really like is Trey Smith, the guard out of Tennessee. He's really boomer, but he's extremely athletic. He played all 4 years, started all 4 years at Tennessee. I think that he's extremely talented for the guard position. And, he's a great pass blocker. He's not a super fantastic run blocker, but I really like Trey Smith.
I think that there's going to be a few really good late round gems in this draft. There's not that much. It's a very top heavy draft, though, as far as all things considered. I think that there might be a few guys that have breakout careers in the later rounds, but not very many.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because you just don't have the tape that you would have in a normal year because of the COVID year and a lot of people opting out and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people not playing as many games as they're supposed to, whatever. I really think that there could be a lot of rate guys in this draft just because they don't have tape on them. And I think that this is really going to be an interesting draft because, you don't have all the talent you would see. There's a lot of guys that went back to college just because they didn't have their final season or whatever. And so it's going to be extremely interesting to see what happens here. This is one of the most unprecedented drafts in a very, very, very long time. And I think it's going to be extremely interesting what happens, with the people that were drafted late round and if a lot end up succeeding or not.
I think that that because of the COVID season and not playing, that Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell really benefited from not playing. I think that, if they would have played, there was a chance that they would have slipped a little bit. Ja'Marr Chase hasn't played in a year and is still considered to be the best receiver. And I don't think that he would have been able to have that same success had he played at LSU, just because he didn't have Joe Burrow. And or an elite level quarterback. And I think Sewell benefited from not having to play this year as well, just because there's the tape's not there and all his tape for the most part is good.
Yeah, but I think that a guy like Rousseau really, it hurt him a lot just because he got 15 sacks in his first season as a starter. And then he never was able to replicate that because he didn't have another season. A lot of people were waiting for him to break out into his junior year, and he didn't play. So nobody really knows how he's going to be at the next level because he wasn't able to show the next year or what he could truly do. I think Quincy Roche also really got hurt because of this. I think there are a lot of guys that are just dropping down draft boards because they weren't able to play that next season.
There's a lot of guys that are dropping and a lot of guys that are benefiting. But before we have to keep moving on as far as the show goes, and who do you think is the best non-QB in this draft?
I think there's no doubt about this. I think it's Kyle Pitts. This dude is, he has the talent to be able to be the best tight end of all time. There's maybe three tight ends that are actually above and beyond, and it's such an advantage to have one of Kittle, Waller, or Kelce, just because it's so far above the rest of the entire league. And I think that Pitts is going to be that day one. I think that he is so much talent. He might be the actual best receiver in this class. If you're counting a tight, because tight tight end is kind of a receiver. It is a receiver, not a wide receiver, but I think that Pitts is the best receiving threat in this class. I think he's the best non-quarterback. I have him number two on my board after Trevor Lawrence. I mean, this guy is just fantastic.
I agree that Pitts is one of the best player. That's not a QB. And Anthony, who do you think it is?
I mean, I kind of agree with George. I think Kyle Pitts is another one. Penn Sewell, I think he's third on my board. He's generational talent at tackle. He, in 3 years at Oregon, I think it was, he played the blindside blocker to Justin Herbert, and he was extraordinary. I mean, no sacks given up. I think he can go, and he's definitely going to be that day one starter that changes an offensive line.
I agree, and we're coming close to the end, but before we get to the end, do you have any ideas on teams that could potentially trade up to get a weapon? I think that the Cardinals could potentially trade up with the Lions, the Broncos, the Panthers to try to get a younger, speedier receiver for Kyler Murray to throw the ball to. You have AJ Green and DeAndre Hopkins who are both go up and get it guys, but I think that Kyler Murray is really going to need a Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith, a speed guy to throw the ball to. It'd be very beneficial to him. So I could easily see the Cardinals trading up. Anthony, are there any teams you could see trading up that could surprise everybody?
I mean, there's always Washington and Chicago that could easily trade up to try and get one of those quarterbacks. I mean, I think that's been rumored throughout the whole, you know, pre-draft stuff. But other than that, maybe Baltimore trying to trade up to get a receiver. They have those two first-round picks. They can easily trade up with a team like the Vikings. Who knows? I think they could try and trade up to get one of those top receivers as well.
George, do you have any teams that you think could trade up?
I actually think it'd be really interesting to see the Los Angeles Chargers try and trade up for a tackle. I think that that's one of the biggest main holes that they have left. And I think that if Penei Sewell drops to like 7 or 8, that they could trade up for Penei Sewell and, you know, put him back as a blindside blocker for Justin Herbert. And it really, you know, all come together. I think that that would be really interesting and really actually beneficial for the Chargers and whoever's moving back, whether it's the Lions or the Panthers, who just need more talent on the roster. I think that's a super great fit for them.
I think that that would be an amazing trade up, actually. I think that they've, over the last couple of free agency periods, they've tried to go O-line, but they've gotten some really good alignment. I think that getting a guy like Sewell would be a really good fit for them. But in the end, this is all speculation, and the draft is tonight. Round one is tonight. And on Tuesday, we'll come back. We'll do a draft recap episode, and then we'll go back to our regularly scheduled once a week uploads until the end of the year. And then the last show of the year will be the farewell show. George did it with me, and now I'm going to do it with Anthony. And we will see y'all on Tuesday after the draft.